Hello and welcome to episode 2 of DAX's brand new podcast, Network Talk. So for episode 1, we looked at digitalization with DAX's head of corporate digital innovation and development, Lars Rehlitz. So if you haven't already, then you should definitely listen to that episode. And for this installment, I'm very excited to say that I am joined by DAX's Director of Corporate Strategy and M&A, Dr. Fabian Günther, and we had a very interesting and in-depth discussion about why companies need strategy, why it's important to find a good mix of organic growth and acquisitions, what makes M&A successful, and many other topics under the umbrella of strategy and M&A in logistics. Now, this all sounds very complex, but I promise that Fabian explains it in a really engaging and accessible way while also handing out some really useful tips. But you don't have to just take my word for it. Stick around and listen for yourself. Let's get straight into the episode. Hello, Fabian. Thank you so much for joining me on DAX's Network Talk podcast. And I believe this is your first ever podcast appearance. So it is an honor to have you here.
Hello, Charlotte. Indeed. It's my first podcast and I'm looking forward to this.
Well, we'll start with a nice, easy question to begin before we dive into the very interesting and complex topic of company strategy and acquisitions. So very simply, who are you? What is your background, your job role, and your core tasks at DAXA?
Happy to do so. So my name is Fabian Günther, Corporate Director of Corporate Strategy and M&A. So what is behind this title? So I'm responsible for a couple of things at DAXA. So first, supporting my colleagues in developing strategies, also responsible for big transformation efforts. And last but not least, the topic which we are talking about today, it's M&A. And in a nutshell, so it's I support the company in driving its growth and in the transformation journey for the years to come. This is exactly what I've been doing for the last almost 20 years. So started as a consultant at Boston Consulting Group, responsible for growth, for internationalization, M&A. Then have been working for a German retailer called Tchibo. Again, lots of growth and transforming its business model. And before joining DAXA, I've been working for Flix, or known with the brand Flixbus, where I was responsible for growth and internationalization, including M&A outside of Europe. So you hear a lot about growth and M&A that I've been doing for a couple of years.
20 years, yeah, that's quite an extensive background. But you actually joined DAXA just last year. So what attracted you to this job and to this company?
Again, here, very simple. You have all the ingredients here that are relevant for doing successful growth. So DAXA, it's a very successful company with strong foundation and all the financial means to do M&A. But also DAXA has a very long-term perspective. So it's not driven by quarterly results. It's really more this long-term strategic perspective, which is great when you really think about long-term growth.
Well, I mean, presumably this growth that you mentioned isn't just going to come about randomly and you need to have a plan. Well, that is what we're here to talk about today. So what does strategy mean to you and why is it important in business?
So for me, strategy is like a North Star. So it gives you guidance to all the employees. It provides you a framework for all the operative decisions. Or very simple, I always ask two questions when speaking with colleagues about strategy. One question is where to play, and the other question is how to win. So it's always about where and how you can achieve competitive advantage.
Where to play and how to win. I like that. I understand that a key part of achieving that competitive advantage lies in M&A. And I mean, this is something that we see a lot of in the logistics industry. But I mean, DAXA alone in the last 20 months has made several large strategic acquisitions. So I'm just going to list them out. There was Müller Food Logistics in January 2023, ACA International Australia and New Zealand in March 2023, the formation of the joint venture with Furcam Italy in August 2023, and then Frigoscandia in December 2023, and most recently Brummer in September 2024. So quite a lot. So can you talk me through why Daxa might have chosen these acquisitions? I mean, what makes a company an attractive investment?
Yeah, great question. So you're absolutely right. We have been quite active in recent months and recent years. So to answer your question, let me start with giving a bit of more general answer. And then let's speak about all the concrete acquisitions that you just mentioned. So generally, there are several reasons why you do acquisitions. First, you get access to new geographies or market segments. So acquiring an already established company with a strong market position can be just faster or even the less risky option than do it on your own. So that's one of the reasons. Secondly, you get scale and size faster if you like to get your profitability higher. And this, for example, is something our competitor DSV has been doing extensively in the last couple of years. And then third, you also do acquisitions if you like to acquire capabilities which you cannot build on your own or which would just take too long if you do it on your own. So let's take this and speak about the Daxa acquisition. So most of the things and the acquisitions that we have done in recent years are serving this first purpose that I mentioned, to get access to new geographies. And reason behind that is our advantage is in our network and in the density of the network. So whenever we can fill white spots, whenever we can make this network denser, this is serving our competitive advantage and this is crucial for us. So let's go through all the acquisitions that you mentioned. So acquisitions of Müller, acquisition of Frigoscandia and Plummer. So everything helped expanding our international footprint in our food logistics business. Then you spoke about Furcam. So this company Furcam has been a long-standing partner of ours. And this move secured our access to Italy, which is one of the most important economies in Europe. And so it helps us to expand and accelerate the import and export from Italy to our network in all the other European markets. And then last but not least, you mentioned ACA, and this extended our footprint of our other business line, air and sea logistics, in the region Australia and New Zealand, which we have not covered before.
But it's really interesting to hear you like break down all those different reasons. And presumably each company that takes on acquisitions will have their own criteria within the geographies or the capabilities that they look for. But when you've decided to acquire a certain company, how do you know when the timing is right? I mean, Dax has completed this multitude of acquisitions just in the last 2 years, which is really quite astonishing. But what is it about the last 2 years that makes it a good time to do that?
To be honest, it's really difficult to time an acquisition. Some of the targets we spoke about, it took years with the discussions and the preparations and so on. And other targets, they suddenly appeared and sometimes surprisingly appeared to the market. However, for all of them, whenever the target fits our strategy, so we spoke about the North Star, we spoke about this fit. So whenever it fits our strategy, you have to take the opportunity as it comes, no matter what the timing is. When we speak about timing, maybe let me ask a question and also answer that. So one question that I hear a lot from my colleagues when speaking about this multitude of acquisitions in the last 2 years is, why did Daxa acquire so many companies in a phase of economic downturn and headwind? And for us, it's also, we see it, we also invest in down cycles in order to prepare it when things get better. So it's not for us a relevant timing, whether it's a good season or a bad season. We also invest counter-cyclical. And maybe a fun fact, and that's a bit more from studies, they show that acquisitions that you do during downturns even perform better than others that you do during good times. And the reason for that is very simple. So if you have an overheated market, so the environment is very good, all the players are looking for acquisitions, all the players go out and compete for the same targets. So it's getting hotter, the competition is getting more intense, and of course the prices go up. So what does it mean for us? So if you have the financial means, and Daxa fortunately has it, it's good to invest even countercyclical, so even during downturns.
That's really interesting. So, I mean, perhaps there is a silver lining in all of this volatility and economic downturn that we're seeing at the moment. I mean, obviously, as we've previously mentioned, Daxa is quite active in the M&A space. Is there a right amount of acquisitions that you can pursue?
That's a very good question. So the number of acquisitions actually depends on how many acquisitions you can digest during a certain period of time. So, and this is based on how much management capacity you have, whether you have the skill set to do that. So you really, everything that determines whether you have the capabilities and the capacity to digest it. On the other hand, you can also say that companies who acquire on a regular basis, and those are companies we call serial acquirers. So we as Daxa are a serial acquirer. They perform much better with the acquisitions than companies who only do it on a very occasional basis. And you can think about it, it's like training your muscles. So if you go regularly to the gym, you build your strength, you perform better than someone who just goes once a year to the gym and then ends up with sore muscles. And this is exactly, or this is the same with M&A. So those companies who have dedicated teams and do it on a regular basis, they are more successful as they are better in understanding the markets, they are better in scouting and evaluating the companies, but they are also better in integrating them.
I mean, when we speak about growth, I mean, whether that's going to the gym, like you mentioned, or in a corporate sense, I guess, undertaking M&A, why is it actually important for companies?
So profitable growth, I always like to speak not about growth, but about profitable growth. This is one of the most important levers for value creation. And this is what we all are looking for in the corporate context, because just improving margins or cutting cost has its limits. And there's even this saying, you cannot cut your way to greatness. So without growth, any company will reach a certain point where it starts to struggle as costs are going up.
There are a few different ways to create this growth. So how do you know when to stick to organic growth as a company or to pursue an acquisition?
So ideally, you should not focus on one or the other. So it should be a good combination of the two. So whether you do a certain step organically or via M&A, it depends on how you can achieve this growth better, faster, and how you can create more value. So to make it a bit more tangible, in a strongly growing market, it will be easier to grow organically. And in more mature markets, organic growth has reached certain limits, and you need acquisitions if you look for higher growth rates. And furthermore, in mature markets, you see more consolidation as more acquisition opportunities are available.
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you a bit more about this kind of idea of consolidation in the market. Obviously, Daxa has been quite forward in the space of consolidation, but also there's been a lot of other big name acquisitions in the logistics industry recently. I'm not going to mention specifics. But is there something specific driving all of this consolidation at the moment?
Well, you see consolidation happening in all industries as they mature. So it's not something specific to logistics. But in fact, if you speak about our industry, the logistics industry, so this industry is still very fragmented, but consolidation is happening and is even accelerating. So for me, actually, the important question is on which side you are. So are you the one who is being consolidated, or are you strong enough to be the one who's actively consolidating the industry? And for us at Daxa, it's definitely that we want to be the one who's actively consolidating the industry.
So once a company has decided they want to be in that camp, the one actively consolidating, they've made the acquisition that fits their strategy framework. How do you then make sure that that is successful and profitable? I mean, surely this idea of post-merger integration is just as important as making the purchase.
And here you are absolutely right. So having the right target for the right price, that's one thing. A successful post-merger integration, or PMI as we call it, is equally important. So without a successful PMI, you won't be able to realize all the kind of value creation that you intended, that you wrote in your book. So that's also the reason that we at Daxa invested heavily in PMI and PMI teams in recent years to really digest those acquisitions.
And you've had past experience of leading acquisitions and company integrations. So from what you have seen, what are the main factors that lead to this kind of successful integration?
Yes, I've done a couple of acquisitions actually, and then also PMIs in my career. Maybe the latest and perhaps even the most prominent one was the integration of Greyhound, so the iconic US brand that got acquired by my former company, Flixbus. And in my experience, the following factors are crucial. So let me start. You need to have a structured integration plan, or we call it having a playbook. So what does it mean? You have to provide clear guidance. You have to provide priorities, setting clear milestones, track progress. Then, and this is often forgotten, focus on quick wins. So what are the things that quickly add value, and that you see progress, that you can really show progress to the teams for both the acquired and the acquiring companies. Then you need a strong focus on communication. So you can never communicate too much, because a lack of communication, a lack of transparency can create resistance and uncertainty. And that's very, very dangerous and very hindering in any PMI. And then you also should not underestimate, I call it, cultural differences. So invest a lot of time, a lot of effort to integrate the new teams, the new employees, what we call into the family, and also focus really on keeping key talents. And Charlotte, then there are several more factors what you have to do to achieve a successful PMI. So as PMI is really a broad topic, and maybe just for you and my colleagues, some hints or some ideas even worth an own podcast. So maybe invite my colleague, Robin Köhler, who's heading our PMI initiatives, who could maybe speak about our recent integrations and their status.
We might have to steal that idea from you there. I think you touched upon a few of them in your answer, but we have to address the negative side. So what might cause an acquisition to fail?
Well, first of all, not doing all the things that I just mentioned before is not helpful. And then, of course, even if you follow all the things, so even the best PMIs or well-run PMIs fail if the acquired company does not fit the strategy. So we always ask in the beginning questions like, does the company fit in terms of customers? Does it fit in terms of the business model? Does it fit in terms of capabilities? And furthermore, we have to do due diligence. So you always hear this word, due diligence. You have to do it very thoroughly. This is very crucial in order to not miss what we like to call hidden bombs. So things that you only see a couple of years down the road, but that then explode. And last but not least, if you speak about failures, as actually everywhere in business, you need a capable management team in the acquired company. So that's why we're not just looking about the business and all the financials. We also look to the management team that we acquire with the company.
That people element is really important. So to finish what has been an extremely detailed episode, you've given us lots of important information, but I now want to look to the future. Is this increased consolidation something that's set to continue? I mean, what do you think the market is going to look like in 5 to 10 years? And what does it mean for DAX's strategy?
Yeah, to go a bit in the crystal ball. So I'm and we are very convinced. So the overall industry will continue to grow. So trade continues to happen, is continue to grow. The question, however, is where the growth is happening. So for us, it will be very relevant to anticipate where and how the growth is happening and how the shifts between the growth lanes is happening. And we have to ask ourselves, are we active on those trade lanes? So things that we actively look for, that we have to watch out and ask ourselves is, where is economic growth and consumption happening? So this is growth is slightly higher outside of our mature markets in Western Europe. And the question for us will be, are we positioned to participate in this growth in those areas? Another question or another thing to look out is, where is the production happening? So what about reconfiguration of global supply chains, just to name the term China plus one strategy? What about trade tariffs? So everything that is going on with the US, those are relevant things we have to monitor, that we have to make. And those are just a few questions we have to tackle among a couple of things. But the question that you asked is, what does it mean for us? So not just about the crystal ball, so what do we take from that and how do we implement it or include it in our strategy? And let me try to answer this a bit differentiated, business line by business line. So in our European logistics, so we have a leading positions in mature European markets. And here, the strategic questions that we are answering are, how can we safeguard our high profitability, mainly through higher and increased productivity? So we have to ask the question, how can we actively drive the consolidation? So this is something we have tackled and mentioned before. And we also have to ask the question, are there white spots in adjacent markets that show higher growth rates than our core markets in Central Europe? Then when we speak about our food logistics business, we have to ask ourselves, again, how to grow and especially how to participate in the market consolidation that is ongoing and also accelerating in Europe. And then last but not least, in our air and sea logistics, there we have the opportunity to participate in higher growth, which is happening outside of Europe. So this is kind of our entry point to those growth markets. But we have to ask ourselves and have to answer the question, so what's our sweet spot and our differentiation versus the global heavyweights to really participate and in that growth and grow profitably in those regions?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely going through a period of major change in the logistics industry. It's a very exciting time to be in this space and also a very important time to have a strategy. And since we're talking about strategy, what is the best advice you've ever received?
That's a question I hear a lot, and then also a very good one. So let me answer with two things that I always find quite helpful. So the first is, when we speak about strategy, it's all about being different. And when you ask that question, please do not forget customers and competitors. So not just have this inside view, really go out. And I always ask a kind of three questions to my teams. Try to find the sweet spot in your strategy. And the sweet spot is where three things meet. So the first is, your strategy has to fulfill a customer need. Secondly, it has to fulfill a customer need where you and where we as DAXER have the capabilities to really do it. And third, it also has to be in an area where we can do it better than our competitors. So the sweet spot is at the intersection of those three things. And then the second, and maybe for me even the more important one or important advice, keep it simple. So focus on just a few things that generate the biggest impact. for me, a strategy is not only about a tons of things that you should do. It's equally important to say what you're not doing or what you stop doing.
That is some wonderful wisdom to pass down to our listeners. Fabian, thank you so much for joining me on Network Talk today. It's been wonderful.
Thanks a lot, Charlotte. It was really a pleasure.
So there we have it, your complete guide to creating a successful company strategy. I hope you all found that useful. I thought it was so interesting, especially to hear about the specific reasoning for each of DAX's recent acquisitions and also the logic behind investing in an economic downturn. So definitely a massive thank you to Dr. Fabian Günther for joining me on Network Talk today and for sharing his wisdom with all of us. Do stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.